Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Cullman, Alabama, this is the Sorcerer's Dictionary. Good evening. I'm Dr. John Stamey. So glad to be with you as we explore more into the realm of sorcery, psychics, and all kinds of great stuff. Anyway, I've got my partner in crime, one of the best co-hosts I've ever had, the one and only Jason McClendon. How are you doing tonight, Jason?
I'm doing great. A little tired, but great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. Right now, I've got my jasmine incense going. It is peaceful and calm at my place in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I'm thrilled to be here with you. Now, I know you've been out doing some things this evening. What have you been up to?
I went and hung out and talked with a few of the, well, really one of the members of the Cullman Cabal. I had to leave before the others showed up, but yeah, went over and got to see him for a few.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you did. Hopefully he will be there with us. We're trying, maybe we can announce next week what our plans are for New Year's Eve. We'll carefully make sure that that's all going to work out, and hopefully we can announce that next weekend. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay, good. All right, well, now tonight you told me that we are going to talk about mnemonics. Now, I'm a little bit familiar with mnemonics, but I'm going to turn the program over to you and tell us what we are going to talk about and why we are talking about it. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, the floor is yours.
All right, well, mnemonics. It comes from the word for the Greek god of memory or Greek goddess of memory, mnemone. And mnemonics is techniques and strategies for improving one's memory. And now how that relates to sorcery and magic is that in the practice of magic, we work to develop different faculties. That's psychic sensing, you know, dreams, astral projection, different things like that. And one of the faculties that we work on is the faculty of memory. We believe to be important for a lot of different things in the practice, aside from just, you know, helping improve daily life. You know, memory comes into, it's important in a lot of things. It helps you make better decisions because, you know, you can put your memories together and make logical conclusions. You can remember what has happened. You can remember more of your working, the things that did work and the things that didn't work. You can remember spells and rituals that may be a bit long and elaborate. And instead of having to fumble through a book or anything like that, you have it in your mind. And so that comes really in handy. But and there's different types of mnemonic practice or mnemonic training. And there's things that help improve your natural memory that helps you just remember more things naturally. And then there are techniques to help you, more or less kind of like hacks to help you remember certain things, like a long line of text or, you know, a to-do list or different things like that. And there are different exercises and different techniques for each of these, like in the ways to try to better your natural working memory. Some of the exercises, of course, meditation, just simple meditation, clearing your mind can help improve your memory because your mind's not fogged with different thoughts and, you know, jumping from different thoughts, one thing to another, anything like that, and you're much more clear-headed. And so you're able to actually pay attention to what you're taking in what your senses are taking in, your eyes, your, you know, ears, what you hear, what you see, what you taste, feel, the whole of your sensory experience, you're able to take it in a clear manner, take any thoughts about that in a clear manner, and file it away in your mind in a way that it becomes much more easily accessible because your awareness has been expanded. And because your awareness is expanding, you will naturally begin to retain those memories, because the way that memory works is we remember certain things more than others because our brain filters out things that it deems unimportant. When you clear your mind and are able to focus on things, your brain naturally begins to see everything you're experiencing as more important than the barrage of different chatter that goes on in your mind on a regular basis, such as just thinking about, oh, what am I going to eat tonight, that bill or work or whatever. All these different things that go on your mind, you're clearing them away. So your mind, what you're focused on, becomes much more clear, and to your brain becomes much more important, and therefore becomes easier to store and retrieve in your memory. And so just simple meditation can do that. And then there's other things that augment that that can make it a lot easier to remember things. One of the exercises that I've done to work on boosting my memory is when you go to bed at night, you take about 10 to 15 minutes to replay your day that you just had backwards. And in doing so, you're having to make your brain recall the events from the day, but you're also setting up a different pattern of memory that's more in line with the sequence of events rather than perceived importance of certain events throughout the day. So it's a more objective sense of memory as well. You're not just remembering what you think you need to remember. You're remembering the sequence of events that happened throughout the day, and it's much more objective because it's based off of what happened and when it happened rather than, oh, this thing happened and it made me feel a certain way, and then everything else was just kind of the day, and so you forget about it. And this isn't something to where you naturally begin to just remember everything that happens every day as you do this. But as you do this every night over a period of time, like that's the thing here, is it's not something immediate, is over time it starts setting up a different pattern of memory, and you naturally, much like when you do the meditation, you become more aware of your surroundings. You're more aware of your sensory experience and different things like that. So doing that practice on a regular basis, it really helps to improve that natural faculty of memory. And it's a very useful skill to have, to objectively reason with what's going on in your life and, you know, piece things together. And it's very effective for the working with magic because you begin to learn what works and what doesn't, and through that you begin to become more and more successful because you know what works and what doesn't, and are able to focus more on the things that do work and rather than the things that don't work. And, you know, aside from just that exercise,
Right. And I want to share with you something that I did when I got into life insurance. Life insurance is a tough business. And I was told that when I came with Senior Life Services, if I sold $3,000 a week for 10 weeks, they would make me a manager. And that's all I wanted to do. That was the single most important thing in my life. So what I would do is I would come home at night, I would lay down on the couch, and I would sit there, and I would think about all of the interactions that I had with each person. And I became very critical of myself. It was like, why didn't I sell this person? Now, I mean, you know, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, They don't need insurance. But number two, did I make a mistake? And I was extremely critical to myself. And that's how I learned to be a pretty good insurance salesman, is because I was critical of myself to make sure that I hadn't made a mistake, I hadn't missed something. And you know what? I got pretty darn good because I did that exercise, the idea of self-critique. And I think that's a little bit of, or maybe a lot of what you're talking about, is we can go and we can look at what we've done. We're all smart enough to know if we did a good job or not. Am I correct, Jason?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you just sit there and you just try to understand why did I succeed? And you got to go over that just as much as why did I fail? So, I mean, you just do that.
Right.
And I think that is, that kind of self-analysis is very important. And if anyone hasn't ever done that, that is something I believe that you have to do. I mean, I still do it every day. When I, I know when I do right and I know when I do wrong, and I try to learn from myself. So that's, in my opinion, that's a very important part, is self-critiquing what you do. I just wanted to share that with everybody. I thought it was kind of an interesting thing, and it worked. I became a manager in 10 weeks. It was tough, but I did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely the self-critique thing. Like, you know, and whenever you work to better develop your memory and, you know, you can recall all the little things that you have done, you become a lot better at that self-critique and can make, you know, better judgments about what you did wrong and what you did right and begin correcting course more. So, yeah, it's very useful. And the whole introspection, too, you know, the memory helps introspection, and introspection is a very useful skill, you know, in life in general, learning, you know, to be successful in your field, as well as, you know, how to be a better person, you know, in other aspects of your life, like in your friendships, in your relationships, you know, you learn.
Right.
And that's a really good. I appreciate you sharing that. That's a very useful, you know, application of what we're talking about. And I think that a lot of people could really, you know, really go far by just, you know, putting a little bit of like the memory training and introspection to their life. You know, there's some people that are pretty naturally introspective already. Like you seem to be. From the way you've described me, you seem like to be a pretty naturally introspective person, you know, and that's a really good thing, you know. So some people may need to learn it a little bit more than others, but it's a very useful skill to have for sure.
It absolutely is. And then there's one other thing that I want to mention. On Thursday night, you and I are working on some projects. And when we talk, because I find it very important to stay in touch every day, because that way you know what's going on. And I felt like we had reached a major, major milestone. And I was kind of celebrating a little bit. I remember telling you, this is great. We have accomplished this. We need to just take a moment and relax and say, this is a good thing. So I think not only is introspection or self-critiquing, as I call it, not only is that important, but it's also important to at least celebrate and feel some joy when you have accomplished something, because Thursday night, that's not something that we would talk about here on the show, but Thursday night, we together had reached a milestone, and I was thrilled. I was thrilled. You remember how happy I was, right?
Yes.
And I think it's important to look at each other, if you're doing it with somebody, and say, Jason, we did it. We made it happen. Took both of us and we did it. And I think that is important too, to really celebrate accomplishments, because I got news for you, buddy. We are the only people that will celebrate our accomplishments. Nobody else will. Do you agree?
I mean, nobody will celebrate. You mean our personal accomplishments. Yes, yes, I agree. No one
right.
else
in
is
other
going
words,
to.
You and I are trying to accomplish something. We got a great website up. We got a great Facebook page, St. Cyprian of Antioch, and I was thrilled with that and a few other things that happened. So I kind of talked about it, and we celebrated it. And I think that's very important to celebrate the good things that you do. I just do. I mean, I guess that comes from my training from the Napoleon Hill Foundation about positive mental attitudes. If you celebrate the good things, then that trains your mind to want to accomplish more good things. It does. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You keep doing it. You keep wanting good things to happen, and you remember the adrenaline high that you get. I mean, that's what it is. You remember the adrenaline high you get when you think about the great things you've done. And, you know, as in our short time in working on this podcast and working on our websites, I think we've accomplished a lot. I don't mind telling that to everybody in the world. And I'm thrilled that, you know, I've got a great business partner and a great friend to do this with. And we got to celebrate it. We got to just somehow say, man, we were good. You know, it's kind of like Wayne's World. It's okay. We can sing Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. That's okay. You're supposed to
absolutely.
Laugh. You better have laughed. I thought that was a good joke. But anyway, the great Freddie Mercury.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I snickered. I guess it didn't pick up on the phone, but.
Okay. All right. No, I finally heard you right as I was complaining. You didn't laugh. But no, that's great. So anyway, I'll turn it back over to you. But I just wanted to share those two things because I think they're important, not only to you and I talking, but to the people listening to this podcast. They need to realize that, you know, we're just a couple guys working hard, correct?
That's it.
And you got to celebrate sometimes. That's what I think. All right, I'll turn it back over. I will turn control of your TV set back over to you. Do you know where that comes from, by the way, Jason? That's one of the most famous statements of all time in television. That comes from the closing moments of that great science fiction show, The Outer Limits, where they say, we will now return control of your television set to you. And it's just kind of a beautiful, kind of whimsical thing, and it's just, it kind of like says, you know, we're out there, we're in this kind of never land, but we're done now. We've had you for an hour. We're going to return control of your television set back to you. And I was like 4 years old when I saw that, and I still remember it to this day. I think it's kind of a good fantasy thing that kind of grounds you in reality, but says, you know, you're out there for an hour, you're going to learn some things, but then we're going to bring you back. Okay. Dr. John, we'll
right
now.
Oh, you're good. Yes. Thank you for sharing that stuff. Yeah. And I appreciate you speaking about it. Those are really good things to keep in mind, but it's really, really important stuff. The introspection and celebrating your wins, and you remember those things. It all goes back into your memory. But I also, like, you know, I've talked to a little bit about those. Those are the ways to kind of boost your natural memory abilities, kind of, and along with just memorizing things, you know, purposefully memorizing text and things. As you remember more, you strengthen your memory and it gets stronger. You know, just basic practice. But there are also some techniques, some hacks for that you can use to memorize a lot more as well. And I've used them myself, and they've come really in handy. There's one, it's probably the most famous tool. It was used in ancient Greece. The name that has been given to this technique is called the Memory Palace. And what it is in your mind, you take a familiar location, say your house, in your mind, you walk through your front door. I don't know where, you know, what's in the front door of your house, but let's just say you walk in the front door and you're in the living room. And
okay.
You know, to your left,
there's
a couch. All right. And let's say, you know, you, to your left, there's a couch or whatever, and then a TV and, you know, a little shelf or whatever. And, you know, then you go and there's a doorway that goes to a hall, maybe like a countertop that goes to the kitchen, that's in, connected to the kitchen. You walk through your house and you notice these spots. They're familiar to you. You already know they're there. And you walk through this familiar place, your house, in your mind, and you notice all these locations. And then whenever you want to remember something, a good practice of this is memorizing a grocery list, or you could, you know, use this to memorize the periodic table, whatever. But what you'll do is you'll take an image that will help you recall the thing that you need to remember, and you will place that image in that spot in order as you walk through your house. So say if you wanted to memorize a grocery list, you walk through the front door, you got your couch to the left, then a TV, then the shelf. You look to your left, and you see eggs boxing on the couch. One cracks open, and then egg spills out. And then the other egg's like, ha-ha, you're a rotten egg. But you got eggs. And then you know you need to get milk. So then you look at the TV, and your TV's alive, and it's whimpering because there's this evil jug of milk that's just being poured on top, pouring itself on top of the TV. And then over on the other couch, you say, there's a bread that's just lazing around, maybe drinking or something on the other couch, saying, oh, I'm just loafing around. And then on the table, say you've got, we'll say, you know, orange juice or something, or we'll just say pizza. You want to get a pizza. And so then on the table, you will see a pizza cutting itself into slices, saying, why nobody want to party with me? And see, all these images, they're in familiar locations.
I have got to tell you, I've got to stop you right there, because that is, I was getting ready to talk about that. That is called characterizing the ridiculous. That is how I remembered all of the presidents in order for a test when I was like in the fifth grade. I'd gotten a book on memory, and it talked about characterizing the ridiculous, because it's like we had Martin Van Buren. There was a bureau in my family's bedroom. So there was, you know, so I remembered Martin Van Buren. Then all of a sudden it grew hair. So that was William Henry Harrison. And I mean, it's like, it's called characterizing the ridiculous. And that is exactly how I have gotten through a lot in life and appeared to be smart enough to remember things. That is brilliant. And I'm glad that you and I, you know, it's really funny. We have so many of the same techniques. We just call them something different. This is wonderful. But, yeah, I'll never forget that. And then Lincoln, when he came to Lincoln, there was a penny. And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, oh, yeah, that's right. Ulysses Grant was after him because it granted the penny the ability to explode. It granted. So that was Ulysses S. Grant. So, yeah, exactly that's how I remembered the presidents in record time. I remembered them in one day. I got the test done, and I got to go out and play while everybody else was struggling with that. So that is brilliant, and you and I have got the same great strategies. We've just learned them under different names. That's really cool. I'll shut up now.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Characterizing the Ridiculous. I like that name.
There was some dude. You know, there've been all kinds of weirdos that have self-help books, and I wanted this one, and my mom bought it for me. It came. It took 3 or 4 weeks to get there, and that was the first thing, and I immediately, I had just been given the assignment to memorize all of the presidents. And you, the quicker you did it, the better grade you got. It was in the fifth grade, Miss Wilson. She was nuts. That's okay, Miss Millie Wilson. But anyway, that was characterizing the ridiculous. And I lost the book. I don't know where it is, but I still use it today. And I'm glad that you use it today. It goes to show that it is a timeless technique, right?
Oh, yeah. Said like they'd use it in ancient Greece. It is definitely, and they understood the power of memory and how embellishing these images made them stick much better in your mind. And
they did.
It's very useful, too. It's very, very useful.
It really is. And, I mean, I think the power of memory is so important because it augments everything that you do. It just, you know, you
absolutely.
Just remember. I mean, like when I go into the grocery store, I do the same thing because I go into the Walmart neighborhood market. So what I do is I kind of like make fun examples of where I know where everything is pretty much. I know where the butter is. I know where the cheese is. I know where all these things are. And so I kind of make little jokes about where I'm going to go. I don't even worry about what it is because as long as I get there, I'll see what I need. You know, so that's kind of how I do it. It works.
Right. Yeah. And that reminds me of some other technique that is it works off the similar principles for remembering things. Like if there's something particular that you remember that you need to remember to do the next day, it's not necessarily memorizing bits of information, like a string of information, but making sure that it's like tying a string around your finger. You know, little things that can help you remember, oh, yeah, I need to do that. Like putting a strange object in a place that it is not supposed to go or that you would not, it is very out of the norm. And then when you see that object, you'll be like, why is that there? Oh, yeah, I put that there because I need to remember this. Oh, I need to do that. And that really comes in handy, too. You see it, and then you remember, you know, like when you said you go to the store, you make these jokes of where you're going to go. And when you see what you need, you automatically know, oh, yeah, I needed that. And it connects. There's these connections. And you just remember, you know, and that kind of comes from association, because we also remember things by association. Of course, that goes into the memory palace, too, and all. Yeah, there's a lot of ways to apply association for memorizing certain things. One method that I have used before when reading books to memorize, not the text verbatim, but to remember a lot of key details through each chapter, is use something called the linking method. And, of course, you would use the exaggerated images, you know, what did you call it, the characterizing the ridiculous? Or,
that's right.
Yeah, you would use those methods, but you would create scenarios in your mind that would link these images to the next image. Like, say, if you were talking about the grocery list, for example, the eggs, milk, bread, and pizza, you could envision, instead of going through your house, you know, the starting point, eggs. The eggs are boxing. One of the eggs cracks open. Out of the egg flows milk and a cow. And so you know milk. So then you conjure up an image.
Out of the egg flows a cow. Flows a cow because that's the ridiculous. Exactly.
Exactly.
That's here come the cow.
Yep, there it is. You're not going to forget a cow swimming in milk coming out of an egg.
No, probably not. I don't want to mess with that, but that's okay.
Yeah, and then you would see the cow, like, surfing on the milk in a different image in your mind, and then an abrupt wave will come, and this wave is caused by this giant loaf of bread that's like a ship in the ocean laughing at the cow. And so, you know, bread. And then you would No, okay, bread is the next object in the link. And then you would imagine a scenario of an Italian, like a bread with a mustache or something exaggerated, you know, making pizza and pulling it out of the oven and being like, you know, fresh pizza. And so you would just use these exaggerated images linked together.
Well, now I've got to tell you something. I am never going to need that because I love pizza. Okay. So I've got a homing beacon for pizza. Well, let me ask you this. Is there a great place to eat pizza down in Cullman?
Yes. Well, it's not in Cullman. It's a little bit of ways from Cullman, like about maybe a 30-minute drive, but not too far. There's a place.
It's close enough for government work, and we will go eat there. Is that okay? I just got to have some
great
pizza. Whenever I go there,
absolutely.
I've got it. Yeah, that's right, because maybe I'll give a little preview. We're working on a New Year's Eve thing. Not going to talk about it, but if we can get it worked out, we'll let everybody know next week. And buddy, you have got to schedule me in for some of that great pizza, and that's just it, okay?
Absolutely. That sounds like a plan.
You better believe it. I'm sure it'll be wonderful. So, that'll be good. Everybody needs to know Dr. John likes sausage and onion pizza. I like that. And with extra cheese. I like that better than life itself. Sausage, onions, and extra cheese. You got it, Jason? Have you remembered now in some way, form, or fashion, some kind of characterization of the ridiculous, what kind of pizza I like?
The sausage, onion, and extra cheese.
Pardon my
I'm pretty
grammar,
sure I can remember that just as, what's up?
I said, hell, as we say in Myrtle Beach, hell yeah. We can't even say hell yes. We say hell yeah, but that's okay. All right. You'll forgive me. I'm just, because I've got to go ahead and expose Myrtle Beach. This is the Redneck Riviera. This is Gatlinburg by the sea, and we love the fact that we are rednecks down here. We just love it, and we revel in it, and we're glad that we are, because all I got to say is 17 million visitors a year wouldn't do the wrong thing, would they, Jason?
No, that's a pretty big number there.
That's
a lot
exactly
of visitors.
Right. You got to bring your family down here this coming summer and enjoy the rednecky of Myrtle Beach. You're just going to have to do that. They'll just have to live with it. Okay.
That sounds awesome.
I think you'll enjoy it. All right, turning control of your television set back over to you. Kai, I'm just interrupting you so much tonight. Just yell at me and tell me to be quiet now. Okay.
Oh no, you're fine. It makes for good conversation. But and all these things, you know, they do tie in together. But they really do. Developing your memory is a skill that will benefit you in magic, but not just that. There's a reason that the occultists have regarded the art of memory, as it used to be called, as such an important skill in the practice of magic, you know, because it's something that is so powerful and can help you so much just in your daily life in general. Giordano Bruno, an occultist from the Renaissance time period, he was all about memory. He wrote a book called On the Shadows of the Ideas, which is based off of a Platonic idea of the ideas being the true forms, and then the shadows is the world that we live in, which is they're the shadows of the true forms. But he used this philosophy in his mnemonic work, and he uses anything you can think of, like as his mega memory palace, which instead of familiar locations, he uses the astrological signs, the planets, the different images that correspond to the different astrological signs and the different beings. He uses all of these and has them arranged in this big mental universe, and you know, he uses them to put the things that he wants to remember on them. And he has a much more complicated and complex system that can be used to memorize text verbatim, but that's beyond me at this point. But I hope to learn it and do well to utilize it one day.
All right, that's great. All right, I've got another news flash. Will you allow me?
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right, here's the deal. Whenever evil spirits are around me at night, my cell phone drains. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had your cell phone just drain for no reason?
Maybe once or twice. It has happened before. It's not something that happens very often, but it has happened.
Well, I tend to have it happen quite a bit sometimes. What I can tell you is we have been on air for 36 minutes, and my cell phone has gone from 100% to 98%, which tells me that our conversation is of good humor and it is positive and everything, because I've had almost no drain on my cell phone. I can tell you when evil spirits are around, because my cell phone just dies. But I would say that there's a certain positivity of our conversation tonight that has kept anything bad away. And I mean, I hope you don't mind me saying that. I mean, we got to be careful about bad spirits coming around us, correct?
Oh yeah.
And I guess, you know, when you're talking to a guy that's a medium, it's like, you know, it's like spirits are out after me all the time. And I've had no drain on my cell phone. And I unplugged it before, because I'm standing around walking around, because I just do that when I'm excited and when I'm having fun on a podcast like this. This is just like the most energizing podcast that I can ever have through the week. I host five of them, and this is the one that just energizes me and excites me. But it tells me that what we are doing is very, very positive, and I've had no drain on my cell phone. So I just wanted to, it's like, well, okay, let me tell you this one, okay? But yeah, I think we have generated tonight a very, very positive atmosphere. Talking about memory, yes. This is incredibly important. And, of course, because we got you on the line, and I guess, you know, because I'm on the line, this has been a very positive experience, and there have been no problems or anything. So just thought I'd mention that. And that's probably not what you expected, but it's just an observation that I make from experience. We've got a very positive podcast tonight.
Oh yeah, it's I believe it, and it's interesting too to note that, as you know, I had went to a place earlier that I had heard had where some evil spirits like to cause trouble, but and was told, so they were like, you know, interestingly and oddly, things are very calm right now. Nothing's happening. There's nothing really causing any sort of interference. Yeah, that's
right.
Positive energy.
Right, and you told me that you went there, and the comment was, things have gotten calmer. And I think that's very, very important. That's a very important attribute for what we do as a psychic and a medium and as a sorcerer. I mean, because let's just face it, that's what we are. I think it's very important that we bring that about, because it can only lead to good. Do you agree?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And I know this is not what we expected to talk about tonight, but I'm glad we were, and I'm glad I brought it up. I think it's very important, because I think good is such an important quality that people like you and I can bring to the world. Do you agree?
Indeed. And it'll help us remember this too, for sure.
Well, it will, because I'll certainly re-listen to this podcast, because I always do. I always re-listen to our podcasts, and I enjoy what we talk about. It's in a sense, it's very intellectual. In a sense, it's very positive, and I think it's good for people. People should listen to the Sorcerer's Dictionary, shouldn't they?
I would recommend, definitely.
Should probably listen to it twice during the week. It'd be good for them, right? I'm sorry. I'm stretching a little bit, but I think it'd be good for them. Anyway, go ahead, kind sir. You are the sorcerer in charge, so please continue.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up too, you know, because you know, and it's funny, like you remember these things, these when they have these associations and everything, and then also when you really see how things are connected like that, you know, it helps build that faculty as well, and you being able to see these connections, and in training your memory, you do see more of that too. You begin to see all the interconnectedness of things around you, and it's a pleasant experience. It can be kind of like, whoa, like, especially if you're not used to it, it can be a little, you know, like, well, what is this? But it's really a fun and pleasant experience, and you know, just knowing how interconnected everything is and how interconnected you are to it all as well. But I mean, I can probably share some more little techniques or
please share some more techniques, because as a good friend and as a smart man who is an incredible sorcerer, I want to learn from you. I've probably shared a couple of things with you tonight, but yeah, please share some more of those. That'd be wonderful.
Oh yeah. There was actually something that I had done one time to help improve my, I guess you would call it, working memory. Are you familiar with NLP? Neuro-linguistic programming?
Yes, sir. I am about to become a certified NLP practitioner, so I'm about a month away.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Well, I've utilized some of the methods from neuro-linguistic programming. One is probably one of the most basic and one of the first ones you learn if you ever start studying neuro-linguistic programming, the whole concept of anchors. You know, where you conjure up an emotion that you desire to feel, and when you get close to the peak of that emotion, you make a gesture or do something physical to anchor to that feeling, and then calibrate it by doing something like saying your name or your phone number backwards, and then repeating that until it becomes a subconscious cue that when you perform that gesture, that physical sensation will trigger that same emotional response, and you can kind of like get stuff out of that. But I've used that to sort of alter my working memory by changing my perception of the world at certain times. What I did was I envisioned a state. This is what they call it in NLP. They call them states. They're states of mind. And in this state, I became aware of my surroundings and everything. And it was just really taking in all of my surroundings, not just my immediate surroundings, but was just aware of the spatial awareness and everything of just like the entire vicinity, even outside my walls. Like if I'm inside my house, I become aware of the trees outside and everything, just all at once, just taking that awareness. And I felt this state, and what I decided to anchor it to was this, like, blue light coming out of the ground. And I would envision, so it was more of a visual anchor in my mind. I would visualize the blue light to get into that state where I would become aware of the spatial aspects of my surroundings and all that. And what I would do is I would think about my general routes throughout the day, the places I travel through to get to work, where I usually walk through at my house, like my front door. And I would imagine these places, instead of like just calibrating with a certain gesture, I would envision these places, like such as a red light on my way to work, and I would bring up that blue light. And then when I would go about my day, I would start whenever I would get to these places, and I would remember the blue light, and then I would remember the state of opening up and becoming more spatially aware. It would happen. I would go into that state. And then after doing that, you know, it was very quickly that I was able to open my awareness of my surroundings and begin increasing my ability to recall anything, like just from things that I was doing throughout the day or stuff that I was reading. My recall just jumped up just from doing this simple little trick with the the anchor method of neuro-linguistic programming. And I was like, hey, this is really neat. And of course, I started thinking about other ways that that could be applied to, you know, the development of habits that you want to form or habits that you want to break. You can use this to augment your efforts in working on those habits. And just to use that for improving my memory, like, was a major milestone just in my own personal development. And that's a very useful technique that I would recommend looking into for sure. Like, there's a lot of useful things you can do with neuro-linguistic programming. But, you know, when I thought about using it for that, I was like, I mean, the principles are there. Why don't I just try this out? And I tried it out, and it worked. And it is amazing. It really does work, and you can improve your memory. And when you set these anchors, it's almost, you don't really even have to think about it. They just happen, because when you go through the course of your day through these familiar routes and you see that blue light, if you do the same thing I do, you know, it just happens. Your awareness opens up and you take in more of your surroundings and you begin to be able to recall more of the stuff that goes on. And so I just thought that was really neat, and I've wanted to share that method that I've used as well for just training natural memory abilities.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, let me ask you this, because everyone needs to know, this is basically a conversation between Jason and I. There's no notion of rehearsing anything. But what I would like for us to do, could we continue this conversation next week? Could we talk a little bit more about NLP? And I'd be glad to bring some things to the table. And could we talk a little bit more about NLP? I don't think that's outside of the realm of the Sorcerer's Dictionary. Do you?
Oh, no, absolutely not. In fact, I have a few stories to share about how I've used NLP in my magical practice as well, aside from just the memory thing. So I think that would be a very interesting discussion indeed.
Well, we will talk about that this week, and because hopefully we will have an important announcement next week. We got to make sure we can make everything work. But I think it would be absolutely wonderful. So all I got to say is another great success on the Sorcerer's Dictionary. And I guess, can our definition tonight be NLP, neuro-linguistic programming? Are you okay with that?
Would you rather have that be our definition next week, since that's what we'll be discussing? We're discussing the mnemonics tonight.
Okay. All right. So if mnemonics is our definition, so give us the Devil's Dictionary definition of mnemonics.
Mnemonics. The Devil's Dictionary definition of mnemonics, or the Sorcerer's Dictionary's definition.
Because all I got to say is just remember that our patron saint of the Devil of the Sorcerer's Dictionary is none other than Ambrose Bierce, who wrote the Devil's Dictionary. So give it to us. All right, buddy. Let it rip.
All right. Our definition for mnemonics: taking all the wild and exaggerated things of this world to the benefit of the wild things of this world and one's own mind to the benefit of being able to recall and remember all the wild and crazy things of this world much better.
I like that. Set in stone now. I've got to get these put up on the website. And I want to say thank you, first of all, for an absolutely marvelous podcast. This has been so much. I'm sorry. I've just had the best time tonight. It's been just more fun than you could ever imagine. You and I have got a lot of the same thoughts, just under different names. So I wanted to say thank you for being part of this incredible podcast. And we'll see everybody next week, 9 p.m. Saturday night. That's 9 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central time on the one, the only, the Sorcerer's Dictionary. We'll see you next week, Jason, okay?
All right. See you next week, John.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.